Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Ches. Today we're learning Le'ilui Nishmas Eleanor Horowitz, Elkarena Bashlomo Michoel. All the people we learned for, all the Neshamas should have an Aliyah from our learning. We begin on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, about 6-7 lines down from the top, with the words Hay Or Hachama Hechidami. In the Mishnah, we had said that you're not allowed to go and do the Bedika by the light of the sun. You Bedavka have to do it by the light of a candle. We had a drush at the end of yesterday's shir and a smachta, how we know that a candle is the preferred way to do the Bedika. So the Gemara now questions this concept of Or Hachama, Hay Or Hachama Hechidami. When do we say that you're not allowed to use the light of the sun to do the bedika? If you're telling me, if a person has a courtyard and he should use a candle in his courtyard, he shouldn't use the light of the sun. So, we've already previously said that a chotzer, their courtyards were their front yards where they often had animals, and the front courtyard doesn't require a bedika, Rava said. Why? Because you have ravens there, you have all sorts of animals and birds there that are going to go and eat up any chametz that is left there. There's halacha that if you throw your chametz into an area where there are animals, one can assume that the animals will eat up all the chametz. You don't have to do a bedik over there. So your courtyard, your front yard, has that same halachic status. So why would you say that you can't use the sun over there? You don't need a bedik over there. So Gemara says you're talking here not about a courtyard where there are animals, ela be'ach sadra. We're talking about an area that is covered by a roof, but it doesn't have walls. We had Achsadra many times in the Gemara in Erevin, and this is an area that basically has posts in the four corners, and all the four sides are open. So this area is different than a chotzer, and Rava said, but here, okay, great, it does require bedika, but it is able to be gone and have the bedika done with the or of the chama. It's not a problem to have the or of the chama, as Rashi points out, or shalot nedekis, with its own light, i.e. the light of the sun. It's allowed to be, have the bedika done. Vein tzarech lavi lo or haner b'layla. And you don't have to go bring a candle at night. Ela bot kabayom. You go check this area during the day for any chametz, and that's perfectly fine. So again, when we say that you can't use dor hachama, what exactly are we talking about? If it's a courtyard, there's no need to do bedika. If it's not sadra, you can use the light of the sun. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha, we need to tell us that you can't use the light of the sun, la ruba de bacheder. It's when you have a skylight in the room, and the sun can come in through the skylight. So in that situation, you aren't allowed to use the or of chama, you must use a candle. So the Gemara says again, in this skylight situation, what exactly are we referring to? The hecha. If we're talking about e le bahad de aruba, if you're talking about the area directly underneath the skylight, so then how is this any different than an achsadra? Hainu achsadra. And we just said, Rava allows us to use the or of the chama for an achsadra. So why would he not allow to use the or of the chama to go and check directly underneath where the skylight, sunlight comes through? The Rava says, Taki, you're right. Elulit Stodin. We're talking here about to the sides of the skylight. As Rashi says, we're dealing here with the side shalchur. Areas not directly underneath the skylight, and there the skylight, the sunlight, will not do as good a job as using a candle. So therefore, if you're dealing with any other part of the room where the sunlight can get in, some of the same thing would be through a window, where it's not directly by the area of the window, but it's off to the side, so you have some light, but not enough light to do a really good bedika. Now the Gemara asks, why bedavka candle? Why can't you use a larger flame? Use an avuka. The Gemara says, vavuka lo. This implies that you must use a candle, a single candle, as opposed to using a big torch. So why shouldn't we use a big torch? After all, common sense would say that a torch would provide much more light than a candle. So we're going to have four reasons why not. But first, we prove that a candle is less powerful in searching out things than a torch. V'amar Rava, Rava said, what does the pasuk mean? My dechsiv, when the pasuk tells us. Now, this is a pasuk in Habakkuk that talks about the tzaddikim in the future, and it says, "V'noga ba'or tiyah," that in the olam ha'emes there will be a light coming from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That will be noga ba'or tiyah karnayim miyadolo, a ray of light will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make like a keren, like we have by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Koran Or Ponov. So we'll have a similar idea. Rashi explains that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come this light, Yelchu Ziharurin Light will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it will go, and it will be LaHakrin Pnei HaTzadikim, and it will light up the faces of the Tzadikim. However, the light of the Tzadikim, as great as the Tzadikim are, will pale in comparison to the light from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that's what this Pasuk is telling us. Bisham Chev Yom Uzo, at the end of the Pasuk, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Uzo, his strength, will be shown to everybody, and it therefore compares over here the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the light of the Tzadikim. L'mat Tzadikim domim b'nei shchina. So how do we compare the great Tzadikim? However, they pale in comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally and figuratively. So it says that the Tzadikim are compared to the Shechina, kener b'nei avuka, like a single candle in front of a torch. That it's essentially not providing any significant light. The torch provides all the light. And similarly, Rava says, when you're making Havdalah, you need to use an avuka. You need to use a torch. You need to use, we have bedavka, two flames for Havdalah and not just one flame. In other words, all of these show the superiority of the avuka to a ner. So why don't we say that an avuka should be a superior type of a light to use for bedikas chametz rather than using a single ner? So we get four different terutzim, all of them practical terutzim. I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The first terutz is from Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He says, "Zeh yochol lachnisu l'choron u'stokin." Zeh eni yochol lachnisu l'choron u'stokin. If you have a big torch, there's no way you're getting into little nooks and crannies, right? Chorin are holes, and stokim are cracks. You have to go check these. The places where chametz does go regularly. We're not dealing here with, we said in the Mishnah, if you don't bring chametz there, you don't have to check. You don't have to move your refrigerator and check behind your refrigerator to see if there's chametz there min hadin. So here we're talking about you have little holes and you have cracks in the area where you do put chametz into. Again, their houses are different than our houses. Our holes and cracks are something that we're not happy about. They used to have walls or caves or situations where the holes and the cracks were where they stored stuff. So therefore, if you're going to go and check to see if there's chametz there, you're going to be afraid to go and bring a big torch over there because you can't get really close to these holes and cracks. It's going to be impossible for you to see when you're using a big torch, and therefore a little light is actually preferable. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Zvid Amar, Zeh Oru Lefonov, Zeh Oru Liachra. A big torch, when you put it in front of you, it actually blinds you. You can't see right in front of you. It's too bright. You can only see behind you. And here, you want to look at the area right in front of you. So a smaller candle allows you to see beyond it, so to say, and therefore you're able to go and see the chametz that might be in the little spaces that you have. As Rashi says, when you're holding a torch, you'd be wanting to check in front of you, and you won't be able to do so. It doesn't work very well for the bedika. That's teretz number two. Teretz number three is from Rapapa. Rapapa mar, hi boys, hi low boys. You're going to be terrified having a torch. As Rashi says, misyare shalo yaris habayis. You're going to be afraid you're going to burn down the whole house. They libo al habdika yofe. You'll be so concerned about the torch, I better make sure I don't touch the curtains. I better make sure I don't get this piece of wood caught on fire. And therefore, with an avuka, you're not going to do a good bedika because you're so terrified about the torch. As opposed to a small candle, nothing is going to happen and you can concentrate on doing the bedika. Teretz number three. Teretz number four is from Ravina. Ravina Amar, Hai Moshach Nahora, V'hai Miktaf Iktufei. It all has to do with how the flame itself occurs. When you're dealing with a torch, so the torch is jumping all over the place. The flame is not an even light. It's just higher, it's lower, higher, lower. It's just a tremendous bilbul of light. As Rashi says, that the big torch is Nifsak V'kofitz Tomit. And it's jumping around, and you can't see so well. As opposed to the flame, it's a nice, simple, straight, low, but steady light. And that's better to do the bedika. So these are four practical reasons why, even though one might have thought that a torch is in fact a superior mechanism of light versus a candle, for practical reasons, the candle is going to be better for all of these reasons. Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, brings down that nowadays a flashlight would be somewhat superior even to a candle. With a flashlight, you have zero concerns about Rahman al-Islam causing a fire or not being able to see as well. A powerful flashlight can shine a direct, simple light. And therefore, Rav Moshe says that if one wishes to, one can also use a flashlight as part of the bedika. The minhag is to certainly start off with a candle, but then at points that are necessary, if one needs to use, you're crawling under the bed, you want to look to see if there's chametz there. So in that situation, a candle could be dangerous, so certainly using a flashlight in that situation is halachically allowable and may even be preferable. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that any place that you didn't bring chametz to, you don't have to do bedika. That's what I said. B'dikas chametz is not a spring cleaning. B'dikas chametz is looking for chametz in places that you bring it to. Kol makom she'ein machnisim v'chule. Any place that you don't normally bring chametz to, you don't have to do b'dika. Gemara says, why do you say kol makom, every place? Kol makom lasu yemai. We don't have extra words in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah makes rules like this, it's always coming to add specific additional cases. So what additional cases suggested by the Mishnah saying kol makom, every place that you go and don't bring chametz to? As Rashi says, the Mishnah didn't say the lotana makom she'ein machnisim, but it says kol makom. So what's the chiddush from the extra word kol? So the Gemara says lasui hadetana rabbanu. It's to come to teach us the additional thing that was mentioned in the following brisa, and that was chore bayis ha'oyonim va'tachtonim. If you have the holes in the walls of the house, they are either very high or very low. So these are places that are not easily usable, and therefore they're not going to normally be used to store chametz. So when you have such holes, you don't have to go do bedikas chametz in such holes because you don't bring chametz into them. They're either too high up or they're too low down that people don't normally use them. As we'll see, the holes in the middle, right, at the nice, comfortable level, you do have to do bedikah in. The Braisa continues, says, V'gag ha-yetziah. Yetziah, we said previously, was like a gallery, a portico, a second floor area that wasn't very, very high. So that gallery area is used, but the gag on top of it is not used. Rashi explains, even though this gallery, this second story, is a low second story, since the roof is normally slanted, you don't have to go check the roof. However, the rest of their roofs were flat. They weren't on an angle, and therefore, other roofs do need to, in fact, be checked. But this, specifically, this gag hayetziah doesn't have to go and be checked. Likewise, the gag hamigdol. We've had the term migdol many times, shida, teva, or migdol, were various types of chests or containers that they would use. And this migdol is a certain type of a chest that has a slanted roof as well, or a higher roof as well. Rashi says, shel eitz, it's made out of wood, shenos l'sochel kelim, this chest, you put kelim inside of it, v'ochlin toho, and people would sometimes bring food inside when they would take stuff from the chest. So the inside has to be checked, sorok b'dika, v'lo gago, but not the roof, because the roof either was on a slant as well, like the gag of the yitzia, or was just too high up that you wouldn't be using it. Then it also tells us the price of a ref is bakar. If you have a barn where animals are, so Rashi points out, any chametz that will be there, it isn't going to last long, the animals are going to eat it. So if you have a barn, even though you may have had chametz in there, you can rest assured that the animals will eat it. Similarly, the lulin, the chicken coops, so the same thing happens there. The chickens will eat up any chametz that's thrown into their chicken coop, so you don't have to do bedika in a barn or a chicken coop because the animals will eat up the food there. Umasbein, a masbein, Rashi explains, is a base hatevin. It's a storehouse where you have wheat. Dema darko shel chametz shem. Why would anybody have chametz over there? It's wheat. People don't go there to get some wheat in the middle of the meal. So therefore, there is no concern. And the same thing applies to chayin otsaros yayin v'shemen, Rashi says, which are the next two things that the Braisa brings down. V'otsos yayin v'otsos shemen. These are storehouses where people did not go to them in the middle of the meal. As we'll see, there were certain storehouses that you did go into, but a typical wine storehouse or a oil storehouse, these otsaros were not gone into during the middle of the meal, and therefore you don't have to do a bedikah there. Why would there be chametz over there? All of them, the Braisa tells us, ain't tzrichim bedika. You don't have to do bedika. Rav Shimon Gamliel qualifies it. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, mita, if you have a bed, hacholekes besos chabayis, the bed is serving like as a partition in the house between one area and another area. So in the area behind the bed, so you really don't normally go there and bring any chametz over there because the bed blocks that area. And therefore, umavsekes, if there is, however, a gap in between the bottom of the bed and the floor, so that area, you might store stuff over there, tzricha bedika. You do have to be concerned, and you have to do a bedika in that situation. As Rashi says, yesh hefsek ben shulel lekarka, between the bottom of the bed and the floor, there is a space, and kegon shiraglel givoim lamata, and there's a legs of the bed that are putting the bed high enough above the floor that people store stuff underneath their bed. So therefore, it could be a place where you put chametz. Now again, you're not supposed to put food underneath your bed, but it's possible that chametz could be put there to store it that isn't necessarily always food, or it could be that it is stored there, and you're not sleeping on this bed, so therefore there's no problem in storing stuff underneath the bed. In any event, that's what the Braisa says. So we're going to contrast this now with another Braisa, or Minu. We have another Braisa that seems to contradict this, both for the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the opinion of the Tana Kama. So the Braisa number two tells us, Chor Shebein Odom L'Chaveru, if you have a hole that's in between your house and your next-door neighbor's house, right? You share a common wall, and there's a hole that goes through and through. So each person has to go and do a bedika on the part that they can reach. So Zeb Bodek Ad Mokum Shod Magas. So the guy on the left side of the wall, he has to put his hand into the wall and check for chametz as far as his hand reaches. And likewise, the guy on the right side of the wall, Zeb Bodek Ad Mokum Shod Magas. And the guy on the right side of the wall has to go do a bedika to see how far his hand reaches. And any part in the middle where the hands don't meet, so let's say the hole between the walls, a very thick wall, Rashi says, so the wall is 4 amos long. So I can reach into the first amma with my arm. He can reach into the first amma with his arm. And the 2 ammas in the middle, neither of us has to do a bedika because there's not going to be chametz over there. Vashar mevatel belibo. You just have to be mevatel in case anything rolled over there, but you don't have to try to go reach it. So here, notice that the Braisa says that you do have to do a bedika in the chor, in the holes. And the previous Braisa said that you don't have to do them if they're high or low. So the answer will be obvious. This is talking about where the hole is more in the middle, and the previous Braisa was talking about where they're higher and lower. But right now, that's going to be the question that was stating that this Braisa is contradicting the previous Braisa. This Braisa says you have to do a bedika, and the previous Braisa said that you don't have to do a bedika. Now, we likewise are going to have a contrast between Rav Shimon Gamliel in this Braisa and what Rav Shimon Gamliel said in the previous Braisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel says over here, Omer, mito hacholekes v'sos habayis, we have this bed that's separating one part of the house from the other part of the house, the eitz and vavonim sedurim tachtel, and you have wood and stones that are underneath this bed, umafsekes, and it therefore causes a gap, having a space between the bottom of the bed and the floor. Here he says, "Ain't a tzrika bedika. You don't need to do bedika." In the previous braisa, he said, "You do need to do bedika in such a bad situation." So the Gemara says, "Kasha mita mita." We point out that the two braisas are contradictory for what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, and likewise, kasha chorin acharin, the contradictory with the holes, with the first braisa telling us you don't have to do bedika in the holes, and the second braisa saying you do have to do bedika in the holes. So what's going on? So Gemara says, "No, neither of them is a contradiction." Chorin achorin lo kasha. The first braisa that says you don't do a bedika, second braisa says you do a bedika, are not contradictory to each other. Because the first braisa is talking about hob be'iloy ubistatoy. We said they're talking about holes that are too high up on the wall or too low down on the wall that people don't use them regularly. And if you don't regularly use them, so that means you don't have to search a place that doesn't have a requirement to be searched because you don't bring chametz there. So the first braisa is talking about where you don't bring chametz there. And the second braisa, we said you do have to do the search in the hole, is for hobby mitzai. You're dealing with a good, easily accessible hole where people would put a loaf of bread over there. And therefore, that's why in the second braisa you must do a bedika, in the first braisa you don't have to do a bedika. And again, the second braisa is consistent. You only have to go do the bedika as far as you can reach in. That's because that's where the chametz would be. The rest you can just be mevatel in case anything rolled over there. And likewise, the two statements of Rav Shimon Gamliel aren't contradictory to each other as well. Mita, mita, lo kasha. The first statement where Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you do have to do bedika, and the second braisa where Rav Shimon Gamliel says you don't have to do bedika, no contradiction as well. Ha de medalia, the first braisa, which is talking about where he said we had legs underneath the bed, Rashi said, and therefore there's an adequate amount of space in between the floor and the bottom of the bed because of the legs. So therefore, you could put storage over there, and therefore you have to do bedika. And the second braisa, where it was filled up with sticks and stones, so we said, Eino tzricha bedika, because there's not enough room to store anything over there. Ha de mitatoi, it's too low down, and therefore you don't need to do bedika. So the two braisas are all saying the same exact thing, just giving different scenarios, and that's why one says yes, and one says no regarding a bedika. Now we go back to the first braisa where we said that the otzros yayin ain't sarach bedika. We said the otzros yayin, the otzros shemen do not require bedika. But we have a braisa that seems to contradict that. The Tanya, we learned in another braisa, otzros yayin tzarech bedika, that a cellar, a wine cellar, a storehouse for wine does require bedika. Okay, granted, otzros shemen ain't sarach bedika. So it agrees, the second braisa agrees with the first braisa about the otzros shemen, but there's a contradiction between the otzros yayin. The first braisa says that you don't need to do a bedika for the otzros yayin, and the second braisa we just brought down says you do need to do a bedika for the otzros yayin. What's going on? Shmuel says, you know what we're talking about in this braisa that says you do have to do a bedika, otzros yayin tzarech bedika, the second braisa, it's talking about where a person goes and takes wine from there. That's more like of a wine cellar where you actually go and get bottles of wine during the middle of the meal as opposed to a big storehouse where you have barrels and barrels of wine. You don't go in there during a meal normally to get wine. So this situation of mistapek, as Rashi says, in this situation, this otzar shemistapek himenu yayin l'shulchano. This is where you take a bottle of wine for your table needs. So therefore, you may go in there with your peanut butter sandwich and put it down while you look for the right bottle of wine, and you're going to forget it there. So that's sarich b'dika, because pamim shoshamish nichnos lohavi yayin kishu kilo al shulchan, because you're going to go get another bottle of wine there when you finish the wine that's on the table. Upita b'yado, he's going to have his peanut butter sandwich in his hand, and he's going to leave it there. So that's why the second price says, when you need from an oats or yayin to do bedika, because you go in there with your peanut butter sandwich. Shmuel says, but then, ihaki sheminami. So then, why would the oats or shemin be any different? Sometimes you need a little bit more oil for your salad. Shmuel says, no. There's a difference between wine and oil. Shemin, in regards to oil, yesh keva leachila. You know, you have five people at your meal, you're going to have a salad, and everybody's going to need, you know, an ounce of oil. So you can bring out a 6-ounce container of oil, and you're definitely going to be okay, and nobody needs to go to get additional oil in the middle of the meal, because oil is something that there's a set amount, a certain kavias to how much you're going to need for achila. Person doesn't say, oh, I need another swig of oil. So that is unlikely that you're going to have the shamish go into the oats or shemen in the middle of a meal to go get additional oil. However, yayin, oh, let's break out another bottle. This is really good stuff. Oh, I'm really thirsty. Let's get another bottle. Yayin ain't kevel ishasiya. There is no set amount that you're going to use one bottle of wine for the meal. Sometimes you're going to need two bottles. Sometimes you need a half a bottle only. So yayin ain't kevel ishasiya. So they thought they brought out enough wine, but all of a sudden somebody was very thirsty and he drank a lot more wine than was expected. And in the middle of the meal, the shamish is going to go there with his peanut butter sandwich and leave it there. And that's why the wine storehouses, the wine cellar, does in fact need bedika. Similarly, we learn the brayse of Tani Ruchia. Also Shecho b'Bavel. In Bavel, where the typical drink or beverage that they would have in the meal was not wine, it was beer. In Eretz Yisrael, it was wine. Remember, they didn't have other drinks in those days. They had water, and they basically had wine, and maybe some other fruit juices, but not much else. They didn't have sodas, and they didn't have all sorts of drinks that we have. So therefore, it was considered a normal beverage to have wine as part of every meal, and that was in Eretz Yisrael, where wine was more plentiful. Erez Zavas Cholov Udavash. So there's a beautiful drush from Ephraim Margolius who says that when it talks about Cholov, it talks about white wine. He doesn't say it doesn't mean milk. He says it means white wine. Eretz Yisrael was famous for its wines. So therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, wine was plentiful. They would have wine at the meals. In Bavel, they used to make beer. And therefore, beer was the beverage that was served at the meals. Now, this was not barley hop beer, this was date beer. Otherwise, we'd be dealing with chametz, and obviously, we're dealing here with barley beer. Then we have a problem that what are you worried about? The peanut butter sandwich you brought in there, the entire storehouse is chametz. So, therefore, this is talking about date beer, and this was the beverage du jour that they would serve at all the meals. So, Rav Chiya is pointing out that in Bavel, the same thing that we applied to otzros yayin and Eretz Yisrael would apply to the otzros shechar that were in Bavel. Rechista tells us other places where you may or may not go bring in things of chametz during the year that require bedika. So he says, Bei dogim ain't tzarich bedika. If you have a place where you store fish, a house where they would keep their fish, they would capture the fish, they salt them, and do whatever they do to them to preserve them, and in this place, you don't have to do a bedika. You're not going to bring in your peanut butter sandwich into this place. The Braisa says otherwise, Rechista is an Amora. How can you argue with the Braisa? Tanya, tzrichin bedika. There is another Brisa, there is a Brisa that says that the Bei Dogim does in fact require Bedika. So what's going on over here? How could Rav Chista argue with the Brisa? So the Gemara says, Lokasha. Depends what type of a fish house you're talking about. One is dealing Ha Berav Ravi, Ha Bezutri. When you're dealing with large fish, right, you have a tuna. So you're not going to bring in another tuna in the middle of the meal. It's unlikely that you miscalculated when you're dealing with a tuna. So you have this big tuna on the table. You have a big fish on the table. So you're not going to use that up and say, oh, in the middle of the meal, I got to go get another tuna. That you're not going to do. But when you're dealing with little fish, you have little sardines, you have little herring. So, oh, we ran out, so we have to go get more. So it depends what type of bay dog you're talking about. When Chissa said you don't have to do a bedika, he's talking about whether you're dealing with these large fish that you're storing, and therefore it's very unlikely that the shamish is going to go in the middle of the meal with his peanut butter sandwich and leave it there when he's getting another large fish. But when you're dealing with a small fish storage area, so there you may go, I need to get five more sardines. Everybody wants another portion, so therefore you might have to go and get that in the middle of the meal, and you'll forget yourself, you put your bread down, and you're going to need to do bedika over there. Similarly, Amar Rabba, Bar Rav Huna, Rabbi Baruch Huna said, Bei Milche, a storehouse for salt, or Ubei Kire, a storehouse that you have candles, wax candles. So Tzorich Bedika. Those places also need to do Bedika, because in the middle of the meal you may need more salt. In the middle of the meal you may need more candles, and therefore you could go in there with your peanut butter sandwich and leave it there. You have to do Bedika. Similarly, Amar Papa, Bei Tzive, a place where you keep wood. Ubei Tamre, a place where you keep dates, also Tzorich Bedika. You have to do a Bedika over there, because again, these are things, wood or dates, you may need in the middle of the meal to get some more. You ran out of wood, it's cold, you need to put up more fire, you want to roast marshmallows, whatever it is you want to do. You're going to need more wood in the middle of the meal. And likewise, dates, you ran out of dates, so it's like a dessert, it's a sweet thing, and people wanted more. So here, you may go in the middle of the meal, carrying your peanut butter sandwich into the storehouse, and therefore, you have to do a bedika over there. Tano, we learned in a braisa, Ein mechayvin also lahachnis yodu lechorin ulustokin livdok. A person doesn't have to go and stick his hand deep into holes and cracks to do a bedika. Why? So the Braisa says mipnei hasakana, because it's dangerous to do so. The person says, what exactly type of danger are we talking about over here? My sakana. What is this sakana that the Braisa is telling us? Don't stick your hands into holes and into cracks. So if you're going to tell me, we're concerned over here that there may be scorpions and danger from getting bitten from a scorpion from sticking in the hole, so then why would you have to do a bedika here in the first place? When you went and used this hole, how would you go and use this if there was a concern of scorpions? So who would put a piece of chametz in this hole? Because when you put the chametz in the hole, you'd have to be concerned that the akrav, the scorpion, is going to bite you. So therefore, why would you have to do a bedika? It's not a place that you're machnisim chametz. And as the Mishnah said, in a makum she'e machnisim chametz, you don't have to go do a bedika. So if it's a concern from scorpions from moment one, so then there's no reason to do a bedika, because there's nobody that would put chametz in that hole and expect to ever get it back. Someone says, no, we're talking here, lo tzricha d'nofal, that you originally had a non-scorpion concern hole in the wall, and now the house fell down, and it is concerned that the chametz that you had in the wall is your chametz. You have to do a bedika in this ruins, in this collapsed wall area. And here, now they're going to be scorpions over here, whereas there weren't scorpions originally. Where it says, if the wall fell down, then why do you need to do bedika? Inofal lomli bedika. You don't have to do a bedika under a collapsed wall. Vatnan, because we're going to learn in a Mishnah later in the Masechta, Daf Lamed Aleph, it says, chametz shenofal avol mapolis. If you have Nebuch, a house that fell down, and there's chametz underneath the collapsed ruins, harehu kamavur. We consider that as if it's destroyed. We consider that as if there is no requirement for bedika, because it's inaccessible. What are you going to do? You're going to get this chametz out from underneath the rubble? So it's therefore something that doesn't require bedika. So if we're dealing here with, originally there was a hole in the wall that there was no scorpions in, then the wall fell down, and now we are concerned about scorpions, so you shouldn't have to do bedika. So Gemara says it depends how much rubble there is. When we said you don't have to do bedika, harehu kimavor, it's already considered as if it's destroyed. So hasam she'ena kelav yochel chabisach rub. There's so much rubble that even a dog can't dig out the bread that's over there, the chametz that's over there. But in our case, we're talking about that the wall fell down, but it didn't get totally destroyed. There's not a ton of rubble here. And say, I want to go get my stuff from inside the chur, so a person can forget himself. Therefore, you have to do bedika. Hachal kishak kelav yochel chabisach rub. Here, we're concerned about scorpions. Originally, there were no scorpions. Now there are scorpions because the wall fell down, but it didn't fall down so much that it's inaccessible. Mor says, still, long Rabbi Elazar told us, Shaluchei mitzvah ain't in the zakin. Okay, so I'm going to do the mitzvah b'dikas chametz, so I shouldn't be hurt by the scorpions. So therefore, why am I concerned over him? Ne'asakana. Why did the Braisa tell me that Eim chayvin oso l'hachnis yodul chorin u'stok in livdok because of the sakana? Shluchei mitzvah, people are doing a mitzvah, I'm doing the mitzvah b'dikas chametz, I should have a certain level of protection. So Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi is going to give us one teretz. Later on, the Gemara is going to give us another teretz, which is Lamaisa, the teretz that is always a very important teretz, and that is that it's dangerous. When things are dangerous, you can't go and assume that you're going to be protected. If there's what we call Shchiach Hezeka, if there is a significant level of danger, you can never rely upon the principle. This was a very important principle that I had the schus to hear from the Novominsky Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik B'Kodesh Levracha, as well as many, many other Gedolim, L'Havdil M'Chaim L'Chaim, in dealing with the corona COVID-19 pandemic. And this was that people can't assume, well, I'm going to the base medrash to learn, so I'm going to be protected. I'm going to the shul to daven, so I'm going to be protected. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to socially distance. So unfortunately, that is not the case, because even though the power of Torah, the power of Tefillah is definitely Megan. We don't doubt that for a second. But when it's Shriach Hezekah, when it's very common that you're going to get hurt, you can't rely upon the principle that the Torah or Mitzvos will protect you. That will be a teretz we'll give in a moment. But first we'll give the teretz of Rav Ashi. Amar Rav Ashi, here we're dealing with why are we not applying the principle of Shluchi Mitzvah and Nizakim, because Shema Tovad Lo Macha. Because you know what? While you're looking for your chametz, you also may be looking for something else. You lost the needle. And now, for Osili Yune Basra, and you're going to go look for the needle, and therefore you're not doing the mitzvah while you're looking for the needle, and therefore at this point in time, the akrav might bite you, because you're not doing shlichus for a mitzvah, and therefore we can't apply the principle of shluchim mitzvah and nizakin, because there are times when you're doing the bedika that you're not just doing the bedika for the chametz, but you're doing the bedika to look for a machat that you lost there, some item that's not a mitzvah to go do the bedika. Mar says that's not good teretz. Uchi aigav de lav mitzvah, and a person is doing a mitzvah and he also happens to be doing something for himself, so he's doing the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, but he says no, while I'm doing the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, I'm going to look for a needle that doesn't have the protection. We don't say over there shluchim mitzvah and nizakin. I'll show you that you do get protection. For Tanya, we have a very famous brisa. If a person says homer selazezul tztaka, the person gives tztaka and he says I'm giving the tztaka, it should be for a refuah shleima for my son. That's what the person says. Or, oh, she'ya ben olam haba. Or, I'm giving the tzedakah, so either he, the son, or you yourself, should be a ben olam haba. In other words, I'm giving tzedakah in order to get reward for it. So here, it's like you're doing the bedikah, and you're also doing something else. And what do we say about such a person that's giving tzedakah that his son should live, or a person who's giving tzedakah that he or his son should be a ben olam haba? We turn to the Amud Beis. We say about such a person, harei zeh tzadik gomor. This person is a perfectly righteous person. He's a tzadik gomor. He's a righteous individual. So how can you tell me that when you're going to look for the bedikas chametz, if you also happen to be looking for your machat, that ruins it? No, it doesn't ruin it at all. Just like as long as you're giving tzedakah for the purposes of giving tzedakah, and by the way, you also want to get a refuah shleima out of it, it's allowed. Tosus points out, one has to be very careful, however, that this principle only applies if you're not mischaret al tzedakah that you gave, if Nebuch, the person doesn't get better. So the person gives $100 at stock, he says, that should be for a refuah shleima. And then Nebuch, the refuah shleima doesn't come, and he says, I wish I hadn't given $100. So then he loses his credit for giving the tzedakah. But if the person says, no, I'm giving the tzedakah, it should be a zechus. No, if the zechus doesn't come through, I'm still giving the tzedakah gladly. So then this principle applies. Harei zeh tzadik gomor. So the Gemara says, how come by the bedikah we don't apply the same principle and say, so as long as he's doing the bedikah chametz for the mitzvah, even though he's looking for the machat, we should have the principle of shluchi mitzvah and nizakin? So the Gemara says, dilma basa de badak, because here, once he did the bedikah, he finishes the bedikah, he says, well, I still didn't find the needle, let me go still look a little bit more for the needle. Asi layuni basra, he's still going to look, and then the mitzvah is done, so no longer will he have the benefit or the protection of the shluchei mitzvah and nizakin, and therefore we're concerned in that situation. And again, here we're talking about where it's unlikely that you're going to be bitten by an akrav, because otherwise we would say b'makom the shliach hezekah, that would be different. Now the Gemara is going to give us this discussion further. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, he is another teretz over here, and he says mishum sakonas hanochem. It's not the sakon of an akrav. You're not scared about scorpions biting over here. We're concerned what the goyim are going to say if they see you sticking a candle into a chor looking for stuff. They're going to assume that you're doing all sorts of nefarious black magic, and that's not good. Well, plimo he, and this goes according to the opinion of plimo. The Plimbo said as follows, the Tanya, Chur Shebein Yehudi L'Ramoy. If you have a wall in between you and a non-Jewish person, an Aramean, so you have to go check, according to the Tanakama, Bodik Ad Mokum Shiodim Agaz. You have to check as far as your hand goes in. Vashar Mevatel B'Libo. And the rest, even though it's possible that Chometz is there, you're just going to be Mevatel it because you can't reach it easily with your hand. All you have to do is the place where it's more likely that Chometz was put, and you have to do Bedika there, and the rest you do Bittel in your heart, and that's enough. That's the Tanakama. But Plimbo Amar, Plimbo says, no. You don't have to do any bedik over here. Kol atzma in a bodek, because you share this hole with the Aramean, don't do any bedik at all. Mipnei sakana. The concern is that the guy is going to see you, and he's thinking you're doing something terrible over here, black magic, and he's going to kill you. Mipnei sakana. So someone says, my sakana, what sakana are we talking about? Inem o sakonas kishofim. If it's this black magic that you're concerned about, that the guy is going to see you doing this, so ki ishtamesh, hech ishtamesh. So how did you use this in the first place? As soon as you put the bread there, the guy should be thinking, hey, he's doing black magic, and he'll kill you. So why would you ever have been allowed to put bread in over there if there's a sakana? So why should it make any difference to do the bedikah? Someone says, obvious teretz. He says, when you put the bread in there, hosom ki ishtamesh, what were you doing? It was the middle of the day. Your mama unahora. It was the middle of the day. There was sunlight there. And the guy sees you're putting in a piece of bread, a little masikadaita, and he doesn't think you're using black magic over here. He doesn't think you're using kishuv. And he's saying, okay, the yid is putting a piece of bread in the common wall that we share, gesundheit. However, what are you doing the bdikas chametz? You're doing it at night. Hacha lelya, you're doing it at night. And shrago, and you're taking a candle. That looks a little bit suspicious. What's the Jew doing over there, sticking a candle into the wall and the hole that we share? Umaisik adaite. And the guy's going to think that you're doing some sort of kishif on him, and he's going to come over and kill you. And therefore, that's the sakana. The Gemara says, no, the same question that we asked a minute ago, Vama Rabbi Elazar, Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizokin, since you're doing the B'dikas Chametz, the Mitzvah should protect you. And here's where we give this overriding general halachic principle, Hecha Dishchia Chezeka Shaini. The Gemara says, no, if there is a likelihood that there's going to be a problem here, there's a danger, you can't say, well, the Mitzvah will protect me. Remember hearing from my Rebbe, I forgot, all the guys on the top of the Empire State Building, and the guy has a heart attack on the bottom, you can't just jump out the window of the Empire State Building and say, Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizokin, and I'm going to land safely on my feet, and I'll be there in 10 seconds instead of having to take the elevator and come down in 5 minutes. No, you can't apply the rule that Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizokin when you jump out the window, because unfortunately there's a 99.999% chance that you're going to die. So you can't say, well, the Mitzvah will protect me. So too, in this situation, or as I gave you the example, Nebuch, in COVID, a person cannot rely upon the fact that he's learning Torah, the fact that he's davening in a minyan to go and protect him when it unfortunately is a likelihood, the Shriach Hezekah, it's likely that harm could happen to the person, danger could happen to the person. And this is based upon no less a figure than Shmuel Hanavi, the great Shmuel, right? Shmuel is referred to as great as Moshe and Aaron. Shinamar, it says by Shmuel, when he tells David HaMelech that you're going to be the new king, by Yom Shmuel, how can I go and tell people? He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can I go and make David the Melech? People are going to find out that I'm doing this. Shaul's going to hear. He's going to say, I'm Mori B'malchus. He's going to kill me. So Hashem says, Taka, that's a good concern. By Yom Hashem, Eklas Barker, Tikach B'yodecha, V'gomer. You know what? You're going to go take along an animal as a carbon, and therefore people will see, what are you doing with this eagle? Oh, I'm going to David. We're going to go bring a carbon. And therefore, nobody's going to suspect that you're going to anoint David HaMelech to be the king. And if Shaul finds out about it, he won't be suspicious. He shouldn't have been afraid at all. We see that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel that yes, you should be concerned when the Shriach Hezekah, that's different. You can't rely upon the schus of the mitzvah that you're doing to protect you. Now the Yes, Bormi Nemi Rav, the Yes Rav, the following Shaila, Hani B'nei Bei Rav, those Talmidim in the yeshiva. Now the yeshiva was outside of town, the Dairi B'baga, and the people in the yeshiva, they lived in various villages, and they had to go to the yeshiva, and that was a dangerous trip. So we had previously brought down that a person shouldn't travel at nighttime. He should go out kitov. We said in the first da that a person should go out and travel during the day and come back home at night before it gets dark, because it was dangerous in those days to travel alone at night. So they asked Rav the following shaila, the Talmidim that have to go to the yeshiva, Mahu lemaisei kadma v'chashucha lebei Rav. Are they allowed to go early in the morning before the sun comes up to go to the yeshiva? Or can they leave late at night after the sun has gone down? And are they allowed to travel when it's pre-dawn and it's after Tzeis HaKochav? Will the Torah that they're learning protect them, or are they considered over here Shriach Hezekah? So Amalhu, so Rav told them, Naisu alai, in the morning they can come, for Al Tzavari, it'll be on my neck. In other words, they certainly will be protected when they come in the morning. The Torah that they're going to learn will certainly protect them. It's not enough of a Shriach Hezekah that's a concern. Shmuel says, no, can they go home at night? Nezel mai, you only answered us, can they come in the morning? Okay, gesundheit. But after they learn, so they're no longer doing the mitzvah, will they also have protection? So that, Rav said, Amaloh lo yidana. That I don't know. I'm not sure. Similarly, we said in the base medrash, Itmar, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shluchei Mitzvah, Eino Nizokin. Rabbi Elazar, he's the one that told us several times already, we have Omer Rabbi Elazar, Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizokin, that a person going to do a mitzvah is not going to find harm as long as it's not Shliach Hezekah. And Rabbi Elazar here adds, Lo Bali Chason, Lo Bachazi Rason. not only when they're going to do the mitzvah, but even after completion of the mitzvah, on their way back home, they still have the schus of the mitzvah to protect them. And this goes in accord with the following opinion. Kiman ki hai tana. It goes with the following tana in the following braisa. The tanya, we learn in the braisa. Isi ben Yehuda Omer. Isi ben Yehuda tells us, klapei sha'omra Torah. Since the Torah said, v'lo yachmod ish es artzicha, when we go up to Eretz Yisrael, for the Shlosh Regalim, you do not have to be concerned that anybody is going to come and take your stuff. You're going up for the Shlosh Regalim. Three times a year, we go up to Yerushalayim. Everybody goes, and you leave everything behind unprotected. You didn't have all sorts of shomrim on your fields. Everybody left. And it says, don't worry, nobody is going to come and covet your field. Nobody's going to come and take your field. Now, that comes to teach us, he darshins, he's even you the darshins, b'lami shetei poroscha roa b'afar, your cows are going to be grazing out in the field, and the lions, the other animals, aren't going to attack your cows. They'll be safe, even though you're not there to protect them. Likewise, tanagoloscha minakeres b'ashba, your chickens are going to be going about pecking in the garbage dumps for food, and no weasel, a chulda is a predatory animal, the small little predatory animals aren't going to come and eat your chickens. You don't have to worry about this. And he says, Isi ben Yehuda, talod varm kavachomer. This is a kavachomer. If your animals are protected, which are normally not safe on their own, so certainly human beings will be protected. Uma elu shadarkun lizok. These animals, which are very easily harmed, these are animals that can't really protect themselves from predators, so they normally are easily harmed, and you have to protect them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, lo sachmon ish es artzucha, your land is not going to be coveted by other people. Tosus points out over here from the word S, the X word that we have, lo yachmon ish es artzucha, that comes to tell us all the other things as well that are in your possession won't be harmed. Uma elu shadark and lizok enu nizok, and things that are normally harmed without protection aren't going to be harmed. So certainly bnei adam shein dark and lizok, certainly human beings that can protect themselves. Others explain, such as Rashi, that we're dealing here, that a human being has his own mazel, so to say, and if it's not meant, that it's not designated, he's going to get into harm, so then nothing will happen to him. So therefore, a human being who certainly has a regular level of protection, b'nei adam, shein dark and lizok, alach has kamen v'kamen, that you're going to have protection during the Shlosh Regalim when you go up to Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, the Braita continues, en li ela ba'alicha. One might have thought, okay, when you go up to Yerushalayim, so that's when you're protected, because you're going to do the mitzvah. B'chazor minayin, but on your way back, when you've already done the mitzvah, how do we know that you're protected then as well? B'chazor minayin, Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk says, Ufanisa v'boker, v'yolach toli olecha. Even when you go back, that's when you're still going to have protection. You're going to go back, and you're going to find your house all in good order. So Moore says, well, once you tell me that I'm protected on the way back, why do you have to tell me that I'm protected going? I'm going to get protection, so why do I need a pasuk b'alicha lomali? It's obvious. If I'm protected, even when I finish doing the mitzvah, certainly I'm protected when I'm going to do the mitzvah. So that, you're right, Moore says, we don't need that. The first part of the verse, lo sachmo ish, that's coming to tell us, l'chid ravami. That's teaching us what ravami says. The Amar ravami, ravami tells us, kol adam sheyesh lo karka olu l'rega. That pasuk, is coming to tell us that the only people that have a chiv to go be ola regal are those that have artzicha, that have a piece of land. Call them sheish lo karka ola regal. However, v'she'en lo karka ain ola regal. If somebody doesn't have karka, then they're not ola regal. This teretz over here, I had mentioned the other day, was one of the reasons why we said Rav Yehuda ben Beseira didn't have to go up to Eretz Yisrael, and when this certain guy had bragged to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira that I eat from the Korban Pesach, so he had given the plan to tell him, oh, go eat from the Alya, tell him that they're not giving you the good stuff, and that's how they caught him. So we had asked, why didn't Rav Yehuda ben Beseira himself go up to be Ola Rego? So one of the answers was that we had said that he came from the Shevet Ephraim that had left the Midbar to try to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they died, and they were resurrected at the times of the famous dry bones prophecy of Yechezkel HaNavi, and therefore he didn't have karka, and therefore ain Ola Rego. Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rabbi Avin bar Rav Ada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said the following: B'nei Ma'ein Peros Ginos Rabbi Yushalayim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these wonderful, phenomenal fruits of the Ginosar, which is an area up in the north, why did he not put them in Yerushalayim? After all, put them in Yerushalayim, that's the best place in the world, so they should have the best fruits in the world. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka place the Peros Ginosar in this area called Ginosar and not in Yerushalayim? So the answer is Kadesh lo yu ole regalim omrim. So people shouldn't say, you know why I wanted to go be ole regal? To go eat the peris of Ginosar. Said this way, people are going to say, wow, we had such a fantastic time in Yerushalayim because of the Peres Ginosar. And therefore, it would be Shalom Lishma. They're not going up for Aliyas HaRegel. They're going up for the Peres Ginosar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, we'll put the Peres Ginosar in Shevet Naphtali. We'll put him up in the north, and therefore, people won't be going to be Ola Regel for the Peres Ginosar. Nimtza Aliyah Shalom Lishma. Because if the Peres Ginosar there, they end up being that they're doing the Aliyas HaRegel, not Lishma. Exactly the same thing. Likewise, Chayotzibo, Am Reb Dostoy, Rabbi Yanai, Reb Dostoy said name Rabbi Yanai, the similar thing. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the beautiful Chame Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria, in Yerushalayim? You should call them the Chame Yerushalayim. Why are they Chame Tveria? So again, Kadesh lo yu oli regalim omer. So the people that are going to be oli regal shouldn't say, oh, il mole lo olino, el lirchot, Chame Tveria, deino. It would have been worthwhile just to go up to Yerushalayim, just for the beautiful hot springs of Yerushalayim, the Chame Yerushalayim. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let's not put him in Yerushalayim, because v'nim tzis aliyah shol lishma, then people are going to be going up for the wrong reason. They're going up for the beautiful hot springs of Yerushalayim, or the beautiful peros of Yerushalayim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the peros Kenosar in Kenosar, and he put the Chame Tveria in Tveria. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Ubame amru shtei shuros v'chule," or some had the gear of "Lama amru shtei shuros v'chule." So we had said that if you go in two rows, these two rows, so you have to go check for chametz. We're talking about going into a storehouse of wine, and how far you have to go and check for the bedika. Where did you bring in chametz? As we said, certain types of otz rosh wine, you have to go and check because you brought in bread potentially, chametz potentially. So Gemara says, "Martev man dekar shimei." Our Mishnah was not talking at all about this martev, this otz of wine that we should suddenly say. And if you go in there for two shuros, you have to go check it. So Gemara says, "Hachi kama." This is what the Mishnah is telling us. The Mishnah said, any place that you normally don't bring chametz into, ain't tzarich bedika. You don't have to do bedika. However, v'otzos yayin v'otzos shemen nami ain't tzarich bedika. And wine storehouses and oil storehouses normally don't need require bedika as well, because you don't normally bring in a peanut butter sandwich into those areas. You don't bring chametz into those areas. However, u'bameh amru, under certain circumstances, the rabbis did say that shtei shuros b'marte, that you have to go check out two rows of the wine storehouse. That's makum shemachnisim b'chametz. That is a situation where the wine steward, your servant, does go into the wine cellar, into the wine storehouse area, and bring out wine in the middle of the meal, and therefore he may leave his peanut butter sandwich over there, and that, as we had explained, will be mistopic. We're talking about in a situation where that is where somebody does go in there with food in the middle of the meal to go get more additional wine. So that's what the Mishnah is talking about. And then the Mishnah brought down a machlokas, Beishamay Amirim Shtei Shuros V'chulei, and Beisilol said a different opinion. Now, let's understand what the opinions of Beishamay and Beisilol are. First, we'll have two Amorayim discussing what the opinion of Beis Shammai is, and then we'll have two Amorayim discussing what the opinion of Beis Hillel is. So we start off with the Amora. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, when Beis Shammai said, Shtei Shuros, when Beis Shammai said, you have to go check two Shuros, Sha'amru, that which they said was Min Ha'aretz V'yad Shmei Korah. That means they go all the way up from the ground, all the way to the top, and you have to do that in two rows. You can see a good diagram of this in the art scroll by footnote number 16 in the diagram. It's the two outermost rows along the entire surface of the outermost row, and the one inner to that, those two areas is as far as a person might go in and put his peanut butter sandwich. He might put the chametz down, and that's where you have to check those entire two rows, but you don't have to go in further inside the storehouse. That's the opinion of Yehuda according to Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yochanan according to Beis Shammai, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shura Achas Kimin Gam. No, you have to check two rows, but it's not two that are adjacent like that. You only have to go check the outermost row and the topmost row. And you can see next to footnote number 17 in the diagram over there, you can see that this is the perimeter, because he says that's where a person will go and put his peanut butter sandwich or put something down, but not inside more than that. We have a brice in support of each of these two Amorayim. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yehuda, brice in support of Rav Yehuda, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yochanan, and a brice in support of Rav Yochanan. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yehuda, the brice in support of Rav Yehuda is as follows. It says specifically that Beishamai holds, Beishamai omrim shtei shuros al pnei kol amartet, that you have two rows across the entire area of the storehouse, ushtei shuros amru, and we define in this brice those two rows, according to Beishamai, go min ha'aretz, from the ground, v'ad shmei kor, all the way up to the top. Exactly like Rav Yehuda said, it's the two outermost rows. Then we have a brisa, Tani Kavosi de Rav Yochanan. We have a brisa that says exactly like Rav Yochanan said. Shtei shuros al pnei kol amartiv. It means the two rows that are across the entire surface, the entire perimeter of this storehouse. Chitzona roas apesach, the outermost one which sees the doorway, and then the top one, the elyona roas akor, that sees the ceiling. So that shape, which is like the letter gimel, which is like the gam that we talked about, that area, that perimeter, is all you have to check. Shelifnim emena, but inside, or shelamatim emena, or lower down, in the inner ones, ain't so bedika. You don't have to go check. So this is the opinion of Beis Shammai, according to Rav Yochanan, and we previously had the opinion of Beis Shammai, according to Rav Yehuda. Now we have two opinions, two Amoraim, Rav and Shmuel, arguing about what Beis Hillel's opinion is. Because Beis Hillel, the Mishnah said, Beis Hillel mirim shtei shuros hachitzonos, shein ol yonos. Beis Hillel says it's the two rows, but they're the outer ones and the upper ones. So what does that mean according to Beis Hillel? They are more makel than Beis Shammai. In what way? So I'm a Rav. Rav says, when you're talking about the Elyona, it means the top barrel and vishalamata menu, and just one barrel underneath this. And again, you can see diagrams of this in the art scroll next to footnote number 19. Diagram number C. And in this situation, it's just those two rows, not the bottom row, and not any inner rows or any other top rows. It's just the two barrels, the topmost barrel and the one underneath it. That's the lenient opinion of Beis Hillel, according to Rav. Well, Shmuel Amar, the lenient opinion of Beis Hillel, according to Shmuel, is a little bit different. El Yona v'shelif nim mihaymena. It's talking about the top one and the one that is one in on the top row. And you can see this in next to footnote number 20 in diagram number D. So, what's the reasoning behind each of them? My time at the Rav, why does Rav say it means only the top two? Meaning the top one and the one underneath it, but not going in more. So his opinion is, he's medayik from the word chitzonos, the outer ones. Eidinger says, well, elyonos, but Beis Hillel said elyonos. So what is that? It means limeute, as opposed to tatoi, the lower one, the tatyoso, that is underneath it. So therefore, the bottom row, you don't have to. Let's say, as in the diagrams that you have in the art scroll footnotes, there are only three rows. It could be actually six rows or eight rows. So according to Beis Hillel, you only have to check the top two and nothing underneath it. He's medayik on the word chitzonos, and not on the word elyonos. That implies just the top ones, but not anything below it, but not all the top ones. As opposed to, we have the opinion of Shmuel, Shmuel Amar, elyona v'shelifnim emenu. He's talking about the top one and the one that's inside of it, meaning the two top ones, as you can see in the diagram in the art scroll footnote next to footnote number 20, diagram D. So, knew why his opinion, Shmuel, is that's the opinion of Beis Hillel. So, my timer, he gives dayik, he's medayik in the word elyonos, the top one. So, it means the two top ones. I, or chitzona k'tani, it also says the word chitzona. So, he is going to tell us, lemute gaviosa, it's coming to go and exclude any of the other rows that are more gab, more inside the gaviosa, and below them. So in other words, you don't have to do the third row, the fourth row. That's what it means when he says chitzonos. But elyona is the critical word. We have opinion now of how we paskin. Rabbi Chia, Tani Kavasi the Rav. Rabbi Chia paskin like Rav. The Kulu Tanoi, Tanu Kavasi the Shmuel. But all the others, they held like Shmuel, and therefore the Hilchasa Kavasi the Shmuel. Halacha l'maisa, the Gemara concludes, we pass like Shmuel, even though we normally pass like Rav by Yisurim, and this is a case of Yisurim, but here, since you have all the other Tanoim, all the other opinions, that it's really Amoraim quoting Tanoic opinions, so here you seem to have going against the general rule that we pass like Rav, and we pass in fact like Shmuel. With this, we conclude today's shir.